this guy, sorry to say, he's a low-key genius. He's one of those guys. I think I can see your vision from outside.
Yeah.
It's genius, man. It's genius. And you're positioning yourself the right way at the right time.
So, man. I hope so, man.
You'll be balling soon like crazy.
Because talking of that, like, there's this debate that I started on the internet and it got super ugly.
Yeah.
I your views on it. So I was talking about the fact that Kenyans are blaming Sakaja for floods.
Yeah.
And I was saying that there's so little that he can do about it, about floods, like the excess floods, especially when riverbanks are overflowing.
Yeah.
Alafu, of course, watu wakachukua, that's me supporting mediocrity.
Yeah.
And I don't know your views on that. Like, what do you think about floods? Do you think it's solely Sakaja can bring them, like zinezaisha kabisa ama?
Well, I think the infrastructure deficit in Nairobi is so old. Like, it's not something that can be fixed by the governor on his first term. However, I feel like we kind of have a false hope about a guy like Sakaja.
Yeah.
If we're very honest with ourselves, you know what people in Kenya enter leadership for? I voted for Sakaja. I had that sliver of hope. And of course, over time, I'm a bit disappointed. But I also come to understand that these things are so, some of these cartels are so far reaching.
Yeah.
Maybe you enter there and there's not much you can actually do as opposed to just sing the tune that's being sung.
And buy some 900 million property.
And if you see the tactics being used against him in terms of the narratives that are going out, we've seen different, I think, senator, we've seen Kinababu. If people look back, those are the same tactics Sakaja used to be called super senator.
Yeah.
You know, he was going, it's just a game that's played. These guys are intellectual mercenaries. You ask me.
Oh, okay. Super senator, Apo, is that to remind?
If you remember, there was the issue of the dam. I can't remember, I think somewhere in Ukambani.
Yeah.
And in the Senate, Mutula and Sakaja were going really hard at these guys. And then all of a sudden, that's where he went kind of quiet.
Yeah,
I would want to imagine, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but for it to go quiet, obviously.
Yeah, money was exchanged.
Yeah, so these guys, they're using the legal framework to extort. I believe this is high level, very high level extortion.
I've seen that, because I even remember watching KJ, and Atandika Sakaja San, and I was there thinking, you know, like the rumors have been that Sakaja is really eating,
yeah,
and like his mouth is full. So since mouth is full, he can't easily defend. Lazima meze kwanza. So in the process, these other guys are there like, hey, Buddha Joe, your mouth is full, your plate is full. There's nothing on our side.
They're salivating over this. I mean, if you're a guy, you're talking about 20 billion. Can't just, even if it's 500, man. That's what I'd imagine is going on. But they're using the framework of the law and their positions in Senate. It's politics. It's not clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just...
And it's also a sad state of affairs that I don't think we'll ever be able to get the cities and the whatever we think of. Because your integrity is not something you can just wake up and have.
Yes.
So if you have, like, let's say you have an honest governor surrounded by dishonest MCAs, there's nothing that's going to happen. Sindio?
And can an honest governor actually make it to that seat in the way our system is set up?
Yes, and Yoshida.
And then also I feel us as the citizens, let me speak for me. Deep down, in as much as I feel like I'm an upstanding citizen for the most part, we vote guys and we resonate with people who do things that we would probably do.
Yeah.
So when you see a guy has chappered a deal of 2 billion, like, ah, even me if I was there, probably I'd find a way to.
Yeah, together 2 billion.
So Kenyans operate from, I feel like, we're jealous of what these guys have access to and what they're doing. So we make noise. It's not like we do anything different.
Yeah. Kuna hiyo. Alafu history ya kumtandika na certificates started last week. So last week, the deputy president brought it up. Then the president brought it up. And I think we'd be very ignorant in quotes to say that a president, ule alikuwa nasema na juwa mnaniita Zakayo, does not know that every day Sakaja is beaten up because of fake papers.
Yeah.
So for him to bring that up, do you feel like you'll attack on Sakaja?
Oh, for sure. I felt like that was a direct blow. Probably has to do with the intrigues of whatever is happening in this city behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I feel like there's different factions. and some of these things are just manifestations of the two camps that are fighting for control of some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hope that didn't get me killed. That's a
Najua. Because even today, like on Tuesday, that is, Gladys Boschelet purely said something. What did she say? Like, fake degree holders should be allowed to resign under amnesty. So, of course, she knows that Sakaja is being accused of fake papers.
Yeah.
And, of course, you're Sydney hot. Yeah, like that, yeah. Nairobi. Who's the deputy governor?
I forget the name. The guy
who's the guy?
Always in suit and tie.
Oh, yeah. He's a Kabuda Flani. Mm. Yeah.
Older guy.
Yeah,
you just be there salivating. Waiting for this guy to resign if he resigns.
Because he should come out, isn't he?
Mm.
But Kenyans, don't you think we're funny? Don't you remember when... Before, during, when the whole degree thing came out, before the teams thing, people who are supporting Sakaja, like, how could you not have figured that out by now?
Yeah.
And figure that out was not necessarily by way of a real degree.
Mm.
Like, mbona hukuwa ushaongea na kadesta hivi ama ka Nairobi uni ujipange. How you being caught out like this at this stage? But I feel for sure he should have done a degree. In his...
Alafu, I think ya mwenye ndi ameenda hapa akifanya degree kai like this very big deal because of how maybe he's performed poorly. Because I think if he was performing better ama if his county was less corrupt, kungekuwa na nini. Alafu, pia kitu ingine mu feel ni ukiona a governor protecting Kanjo for misbehaving, to me you are a red flag for me.
Oh yeah.
Like inakuwaga, you need these people to protect you. That means you are eating so much. Hautaki ama junior anza kusema, mdosi anakula.
I'm starting to feel like Nairobi governorship is becoming a hard stop for politicians, where you have this guy who seems like he can rise to the presidency. And then he enters governorship and there's fumbles. Look at the previous guy. At some point, it looked like his meteoric rise, like, hey, senator, MP, senator, governor, president. You know, it just seemed like a radical idea.
Hey, lakini pia we try kumagine Sonko presidency, like try to think about it. We celebrate mediocrity, but
that would have been wild.
Where would we be?
Armed forces.
Afu try kumagine tumeenda zile ma Twitter beef zetu and then Uganda produces death certificate, like sunajonga story yake ya death certificate. So that, I think that would be ridiculous, and zakuwa ridiculous sana.
But then how does a guy like that and I like what the lawyer you had on say. He gave me a whole different perspective. He's called Levy. These are indeed the high levels guys in society. You know, we can look at it as, how can a guy like this make it to governor? But to get to that point, it must mean there's a level of intellect, ujanjes, genius borderline for, ati from Shimolata, governor, Nairobi.
Nairobi is not a county. The richest county.
That's a serious guy by any measure of society.
But he needed someone dead to control ghost workers.
So I had to. Alafu, every day you find out news. Kama saizi nimecheki, there's this guy called Agina. Agina, the journalist. Amequit CIA with Orengo because anasema there's too much corruption. So you see, like, now you find out that, I don't know, there's no hope. Because when you think about Msekama Orengo, you don't expect anyone to be corrupt around
him. A lawyer.
When you think about pia Msekama Anani, like Anyang Nyong'o, you don't expect. Kuna wale, so you expect excellence around them.
Yeah.
And then they are there, not being able to control corruption at the county level. They're like,
and such guys have, they have historic merits. I mean, a guy like Orengo, we know his credentials, man.
Yeah.
A guy like Anyang Nyong'o has, I mean, his history. So is it, me, I always wonder, and I'm confused, is it that you enter there and it's just so deep that you can't necessarily fight against or swim against the tide? Or is the money so much? Because as men, as human beings, what's our biggest temptation?
Yes.
Money.
Imagine just having access to a few B. I think sometimes we also understate what that does to a human being. It's easy to judge from the outside, but imagine having access to 20 billion shillings.
And you can get away with stealing it.
Because
you Kenya, like you can get away with actually stealing this money. And people see that opportunity and then wanna, like that's the easy way. But at before to Rudikwa stories, lazima nikuulize. So last week on Thursday, the biggest headlines in Kenya, it happened. the CDF helicopter ilienda chini. So when ulisikia hiyo news, kwa ulikuwa kwa hewa, ulikuwa kwa ground?
If I remember right, I think on social media.
Oh, social media.
Oh, yeah, let me start by saying condolences, because I know the son.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Went school together. Just condolences. Loss of a family member cannot be easy.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, from where I stand in my industry, there was like a silent but loud at the same time speculation, so to speak. You know, of course, the obvious suspicion that people wanted to have. In my opinion, I think, to be very honest, I think it was just an accident.
Okay.
Earlier off camera, you asked me a very pertinent question, especially to people outside aviation, about if you can fly an aircraft, can you fly an aeroplane, can you fly a chopper? First of all, they're two very different, even license-wise, it's two different licenses.
Okay.
It's two different courses. So if you go to flight school, you can pursue fixed-wing aeroplane. That's fixed-wing, literally the plane with wings.
Yeah.
And then there's rotorcraft, which is helicopter.
Oh, okay, okay.
Me, as a pilot and as an aviation enthusiast, I would never do chopper.
Oh, okay, okay.
The reason is the redundancies to me don't make sense. Yeah. And I had even one of the guys you had on your online platform captured it.
Yeah.
You get a plane, if the engine fails, I have the other engine.
If
both engines fail, this thing is aerodynamic. I can glide. Even if I'm over the sea, I can ditch the aircraft. Now, will I survive? Now that's the second part.
Yeah,
you can ditch, and then are you going to survive ETC? If you remember in New York, Captain Sully landed in the Hudson River. Everyone survived. No injuries. A chopper, yes, they do have something called auto-rotation if that thing fails. But your chances, man, are not quite high. Personally, I would not, unless I have to be on a chopper, I don't think I'd ever board. I've never been on a chopper.
Oh, okay.
And I don't think I would. Unless I had to, like, and I fly almost every day. So, and that's of course my opinion. I know there are guys who would love both ratings. Me, I've never been comfortable with the flight characteristics of a helicopter. So I didn't necessarily read any. I know foul play, it's a fast thing. Kenyans will love conspiracy. I didn't read necessarily anything in terms of foul play. But of course, there's always investigations to get to the root cause of what happened.
Okay. Because at time nikumbusha, because when I heard about him, because now when you look at Ogola in Kenya, he's larger than life. Also reminded me of Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
No, Kobe was also larger than life. Like, kusikia Kobe had died in a helicopter crash.
Although, even as an aviator, you know, pilot error plays a very big part in most crashes. The human element, the human component in the operation is a lot of the times the weakest link, unfortunately. Can be the strongest, can be the weakest. So, like Kobe Bryant, that day, the weather conditions were not befitting for that flight.
Yeah.
So that guy had an instrument rating. Instrument rating means your license to fly. You see, for the most part, we fly without reference to outside. So, for example, I'm at 25,000 feet. In as much as, yes, in the cockpit we have windows, I'm not looking where I'm going, for example. I'm flying using my instrumentation, right? My navigation tools, etc. That's what's telling me where I'm going. So when you have an instrument rating, you're allowed to fly in instrument meteorological conditions, meaning you can't see where you're going per se.
Okay, okay.
So Kobe, the guy, if I remember right, the weather that day was low cloud, poor visibility. Now, in as much as he was rated, your susceptibility to getting disoriented, you know, people understate what, like right now, your main source of orientation is your eyes. You know you're upright because you can see. If this room was dark and someone span you and put you at some point, you'll not recognize if you're turning, if you're banking, if you're climbing. So that kind of thing, he got this special disorientation and just crashed.
Okay. Because that makes sense, because there are things we take for granted. For example, like, say ukiamka and you want to walk straight, you know, the minute you close your eyes, walking straight becomes like impossible.
Yes.
So kona sema the same thing can happen on a flight to Koko Ju.
There's even one that's crazy, because you know our instruments of balance are our ears, vestibular apparatus, it's called.
Yeah.
Sorry to get a bit technical. But you can be flying straight, and if the aircraft is to bank so slowly, it can bank so slow that the fluid in your ear won't realize, won't pick up that you're banking. So you can end up flying like this, thinking you're straight and level, because your vestibular apparatus has not picked up. Then you break cloud and you get the shock of your life and realize, wow, we've been flying in a bank. So that kind of thing has killed a lot of pilots, just getting specially disoriented.
Okay, so you know, Manisha, like, you don't want a pilot who's a part-time boxer?
Still recovering.
What's boxing?
I'm a huge fan. I like how Ryan Garcia played everyone. Man.
Yeah. Because mimi kitu nganda kuuliza, you remember the infamous fight, anaitwa nani? Andy Ruiz versus Anthony Joshua.
Yes.
Particularly him chap amaskio and Joshua was, just went
fumbled.
Yeah. That's what I imagine afterwards when be Joshua. Chukua hii aeroplane peleka pale. Oh, siku anajua like nini. So that means like someone like me, because I've told people here vile I normally struggle with extreme ear pain. Eh?
Yeah.
So mtu kama mimi basi kuwa pilot ni tricky. Because nikienda huko juu alafu masikio yanze kuni mess.
So we do yearly medicals, right? Every year I was subjected to a medical.
Okay.
Like I'll give you I don't mind talking about myself. Like right now, I'm a bit under siege because I need to lose some weight. Just one component.
But
they check all your health, eyesight, hearing, general condition of your ears. Of course, there's minima. People tend to think that if you wear glasses, you can't. No.
Yeah,
but there's a level of glasses peer of short-sightedness that now you won't be allowed to fly.
Oh.
But for the most part, I mean, we have so many pilots who fly the glasses. So they check all your health, yani kabisa. And then, of course, if you're working for an airline, now then they also have, they have to protect themselves from giving you insurance for loss of license. So now they also screen you further to make sure that you won't get sick in the line of duty and revoke your license, and now you have to be paid by insurance. It's called loss of license cover. So, yeah, it was screened by Empire.
Oh, so, nini, wait, ni issue kwa nini?
BMI, of course. First, call it susceptibility to stroke, hypertension, being pre-diabetic, all of those things,
Okay, wanaogopa unza kuko juu, alafu ume lose control of the plane and people are wondering if your last words were Akbar, because inza kwa ni tricky sana. But still, talking of pain, ear pain, there's something to nilikuuliza tukiwa off. Now, can you explain here? So I was telling you the fact that when I fly with Jambo from like Nairobi to Kisumu or Nairobi to Mombasa, I feel zero ear pain.
Yeah.
But when I travel with Kenya Airways, I feel ear pain. There's a reason behind that.
Yeah, my one, because the main difference between the two, what comes to mind is Jambo, they don't go as high as KQ.
Okay.
Because of one, the kind of aircraft they operate. So that pressure differential is what causes discomfort
in your
ears. Because you know, the lower you are, the higher the pressure. The higher you go, the less the pressure. So your ears are constantly trying to equalize. So sometimes, depending on maybe your general ear health, or I was telling you, if you even have the slightest flu symptoms, you can end up having quite a rough time. Usually on the descent.
Flu, why flu? Because flu block kila kitu.
Flu blocks basically all your, what are they called, canals. So your ability of, the ability of your ear to regulate your pressure is affected when you have a flu. Us guys actually not allowed to fly when we have a Homa.
Like it's interesting to learn about flight, because mi kwa nafikiriaga hizi vitu zote, like you can be unatandika kwa ngumi ya masikio una fly. I didn't think your ears are that important. I know they affect balance, but I didn't think it's to that level mpaka uneza be like, okay. So flu, cause pia flu, kuna time to feel kani kama skio zime block. Like you feel like everything is. So now, what happens? Let's say I'm on duty and all of a sudden nimepata flu. Cause kuna time to skia tu flu ikikam. A few hours later, I have a flu. What happens? Someone has to step in, ama?
Yeah, you call in sick. I think, Juzi, before when we were planning this, I told you I'd have to come today, cause today I'm off.
Okay.
But there are days I'm on standby. Standby is in case my Africa is scheduled for a flight 2 hours before the flight.
Yeah.
And this is your own, before even you get a doctor's sick note, if you feel like siski poa, I'm not safe, there's a whole acronym, I'm safe, I can't remember exactly this, but sickness is one of them, eh? And if you have anything that would reduce your ability to operate the aircraft safely, anything, a cold, even mental health nowadays, anything.
Even heartbreak.
If you need counseling, things like that,
you
remove yourself from the roster. And there's not meant to be anything punitive. Although, of course, you know, different companies have different cultures. So the bigger airlines, even here, the culture is pretty good. No one's going to reprimand you. There are smaller fringe airlines. You'll find they don't necessarily have even a replacement crew.
So it has to be you.
You find people operating when they're not that well.
Because it's a very risky whatever. So Nini, we talked about dangers helicopter. So apart from you, like, just having that one rotator and not having like any backup plan, why else do you think it's more dangerous than any? Afu kiangalia kama hizi hizi accidents imekuwa mob. We've had 5 accidents in 9 months.
5, wow.
Yes.
That's the military.
Yes.
Wow, wow, wow. I know if I speculate, there are a lot of Jeshi guys will probably kill me, or rather not kill literally, but
I know.
But again, apart from that rotor, for me that's a very big one. Yeah, the redundancies are a few. But also they operate relatively older equipment. I think that's hard to not talk about. Aircrafts are not the newest per se. And me, over time, the older I get, and this is not just not strictly about like the military or the Air Force.
Yeah.
A lot of these professionals that we think are so what's the word?
Professional,
for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
A lot of times they're just also, it's of course trained personnel, but there's a lot of luck and just things going the way they were meant to go. That keeps things afloat in life generally. So now if you add components like older aircraft, no redundancies. I don't know about the weather of that day. I've not checked out how
the weather was clear.
It was clear.
Yeah.
Oh, that's clear. That's really sad. I think for me that the redundancy would be the main one. Older equipment as well.
Au kusema mlikuwa na Joel chuo, mlikuwa na Seco ama college?
High school. There's one here behind me.
Oh, mlikuwa high school gani?
I was in Saints.
Saints.
St. Mary's.
Okay. Hiyo iko inakuwa West ama?
Lavington.
Lavington.
Yeah.
Okay. Sasa, yeye ulikuwa gapi kabla Jamu?
Nilikuwa somewhere Kavete.
Ikuenitwa?
Mahiaine.
Bishop.
Nah, without the bishop.
Without the bishop. I remember hearing about bishop. You're a Starehe guy. You guys Starehe guys. I've interacted with them in different...
Sorry, before Jamu, high school, it was called Kirogo.
Kirogo, yeah.
Kirogo.
Okay.
Kirogo, so Kirogo is somewhere in Moranga.
St. Mary's, no?
No, but Starehe... Yeah,
chances of success.
I was telling my friend the other day, and Starehe guys have an excellence about... Undeniable. Like, whatever you guys got, I don't know the culture there, but there's something that you guys... There's something that was put in you guys that just makes you guys rise above average people in society. Like, even what you're doing here, in hindsight, you'll realize it'll emphasize my point.
Yeah,
look at the CEOs we have around, man. There's a lot of Starehe guys, man. KQ, Alan.
Yeah.
Alan is an alumni, no?
Oh, sikuwa najua. Okay.
I believe this Safaricom guy.
Yeah, Safaricom. Yeah, yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
I think also, like, the Kakuna, one thing I'd have wanted to get from that school that can translate into the society was kuna people we used to call cops, the prefects. The prefects and the captains, to like describe them in one word, they were assholes. They were people who would never forgive you for anything.
Yeah.
And I always feel like if we were to run a country that way, it would be very disciplined. So pale ilikuwa like if you're 1 minute late, you're treated the same as someone who's 5 minutes late. Hakuna ati what ama what. And muangalia like traffic, especially up in Nairobi, where they kuna red light and people are just moving. And that's the only time we wish how my cops was Starehe wangekuwa hapo. Because Buddha, you are getting punished. Alafu hawezi tumia corruption, hawezi nini. So I feel like maybe that, when you're a kid, you don't see how important that is. But later in life, you're like, this was good.
So do you feel like some of this corporate, like the way Polycarp had been fronted for governor,
yeah,
would probably
yeah.
been a better place, you think?
Yeah, yeah.
I think so as well.
Yeah, niliona post flani ya Alai that was super interesting, and Alai was comparing the three governors, eh? So Kidero, Sonko and Nani, and apparently Kidero, like even the revenue we used to collect as Nairobi during Kidero's time, 10 years ago, is more than what we are collecting right now. Because he was a corporate guy.
Mm. Yeah, so he
knew.
Okay.
So as much as kulikuwa na corruption and what,
yeah.
it was still better than us wawili.
It was more white collar.
Yeah. So kuna your level. Cause
ghosts walifufuka.
Yeah.
Because kama pesa inapotea and you don't know where it's going.
Because you can try and imagine even how much parking was your time compared to saizi.
Yeah.
Saizi it's parking like is more expensive, more what, and we are collecting less revenue.
That's shocking. We're collecting less revenue than 10 years.
Yeah, than 10 years ago.
Wow, that's wild. I would never have imagined.
Because even the permits have gone up. It's very hard to...
Like there's so many loopholes.
Yeah. Licenses, they've also gone up.
Because ata kuna ile time, mtu anatetea Sakaja, then you hear vitu kama garbage collection. It's his friends who are collecting garbage. And then I've not been to Akina Dandora, but can you show the images, Zuko? Like, Buddha, they're just heaps
of garbage.
And I'm always like, even if you do this job, you're still going to be rich. Why not do the job? Like, I've never understood this. It used to happen pia na Mombasa.
Yeah.
Ulendaga Mombasa, taimine kukula heaps and heaps. Na ikuati ni mabeste wa Joho. And you're there like, even if you pick up this garbage, you're still rich. Why not pick it up? I'll never understand you.
But I think also sometimes we measure people with our consciences.
Mm.
I tell this to my wife all the time. Like, don't judge people off what you would do. You would probably steal 1M and you can't sleep.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, a guy does it.
A billion.
Sleeping soundly. Yeah. You know, he's brushing your teeth, looking in the mirror, feeling nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just sad.
I saw, and I find him quite a brave young man. I saw Khalif was here, and he's an aviation enthusiast as well.
Yes, yes.
And of course, I saw you asked him about the tweet.
Yeah.
About Sakaja and putting him to task, and I was like, wow, that's brave, man. You know, I always tell people, this guy is either a genius or a con man. Yeah, it's one or the other.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the bravado has a negative connotation there.
Yeah.
Braveness in which he's doing his thing, hustling, aviation. Maybe he's just a brave guy.
Yeah, he's just
and
a brave
us guys
guy.
Maybe we're timid inside and just looking at that, we're like, ah, no, it has to be
wash.
Yeah. And I feel like speaking out like that, that's brave.
Yeah. Like that, I love Nicho, because for him, I look at him as a kid, because he's much younger than me. And I was checking, like, it was on Monday. And on Monday, he taught me something without even knowing he was teaching me something. And that is, you'll know you're truly successful when everyone is trying to bring you down. Like on Monday, people just went and started going at his woman. Like, she's a what. And they're there, like, you're a grown man. Umeka pahali. So he's at in a research, and he's like, kuna vile wife wa Ian alikuwa na date mse, wacha ni post hiyo picha.
You
understand, like, how
guys have there's a lot of loserness in society.
Like, kuna loserness level fulani, alafu unasikia mimi siwezi date them, yuko na tattoo kwa thigh yake. Why?
Ni sawa,
man. People
you understand, like, it's
no, people project a lot of their insecurities. Like, a lot of guys who now assume, and I stand corrected if maybe eventually it comes out that he was doing wash, I don't know.
But
to just outrightly just up and this guy is doing too well, it has to be wash. No, man. Like, let's eventually, if we find out, sir, but give the guy, cut him some slack. Even if it's wash, it takes a level of smarts to do what he's doing the way he's doing it. Not yes, him jinga. Yeah, so I give him some.
Me, after my interaction, Cairo, I might be wrong, but the person I met is someone who's very aspirational.
Yes.
Macheki. So he's not reached where he's going, but he's sharing the journey with you. And sasa ukiwa insecure, ile kitu utaona ni ashapika. Kwani hajafika na mimi sijafika. Who said you wash? Macheki, like, I always angalia life hivyo, like, you're always trying to bring people down.
Life and Kenya, we're operating on a, I feel, as a general society, we have a battered self-esteem.
Yeah.
Kenya is one of the greatest countries. If you just by any estimation, if you look at some of I know M-Pesa is a big one. Just the kind of people we are, you put Kenyans anywhere, they thrive.
Yeah.
You know, there's a work ethic element. There's a way we're in tune with the things that are happening in the world.
Yeah.
So much so that you have a podcast, you know, that's successful. Yeah. You know, we're always such a step ahead. It's just that now the powers that be here have kind of shortchanged us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So eventually it's like you're not, people feel like they're not actualizing what they know they can actualize because of the system that they're operating in. So I feel like we get shortchanged quite a bit.
Yeah.
But there are guys who are still determined to back against that. Nothing's gonna hold them back.
Mm.
I feel like Caliph is one of those guys.
Yeah. Because to me, like, I always talk to like younger people and I always tell them, like, Vitukama Izo, first of all, if you view yourself as an adult, I feel like there are things that you won't do. You won't go digging into another man's woman and finding out what they did in their past. Because one day someone will do that na wife wako. So as an adult, there are things you just don't do. But I feel like iji na youth udanganyaga tu sana. In fact, when you're lied to that you're young, you'll always think that I'm making these mistakes because I'm young. No, you're an adult. These mistakes can also take you to jail. Kuna hivile hapa Kenya inakwagani misuse of a computer.
Yes.
It's a very ambiguous term. But it can take you to jail. Like right now, let's say you end up with that person's nudes and you share them. Under Kenyan law, that's a crime. But since you thought you are young,
but
you shared.
But you don't mean even the concept of sitting down. I mean, someone's actually taking time to like research and find pictures. Some guys need to find more things to do with their day, to be honest.
Yeah,
if that's what you're doing with your day, you have access to internet. Do something with that internet that's more productive.
That's one of the things we've been doing with Caliph Cairo, is he does that. Like, there's someone who would alikuwa amemtarget akamwambia kitu afu akashare picha yao mse kaambia like Buddha you have better things to focus on. And to me that was just a killer. Like, if I'm that guy and someone does that to me, I'll just log off,
take a look in the mirror and think about life.
I just do about,
because there's a Twitter I saw and it was very motivating.
Yeah,
it was a
yeah.
meme.
Mm.
Ni ude mbeti alikuwa ameshare kumesema kama mali yuko ni usiku, you need to hustle.
Yeah.
The daytime differential. If you're in Africa, come on, you call it you sick. Niliona like it was some minutes to six, some minutes to seven. You call like, oh shit, isn't you?
Yeah, like in Ujinga, considering Australia, like in Australia, Japan. Hey, it was a funny one, but I understand.
Mainly in Nile,
it's the message,
the message.
The dark continent. So if you have time to share news, you know, kama mse manyako juu yangu, money wise, because you never find women criticizing dudes. Where they've gotten their money from,
because
as a PSCC, as men, it's very hard to celebrate someone who's doing better than you.
Alafu usha notice kitu ingine pia nimekama kurealize with time, especially the internet imeni teach. It's very hard kupata someone who's successful attacking another successful person, but it's so easy to find someone in a time when you are on your road to success criticizing other people who made it. Have you ever found that? Like,
I think successful people are too busy trying to be successful.
Even more successful.
Yeah, their ambition is there. And I think also, man, it boils down to also your value system. Like, I personally, I don't like seeing people feeling bad. In fact, sometimes I go out of my way to compliment people, you know, make them feel good about themselves. I don't know if that's, I don't know where that comes from, but why would you want to actually just make someone feel bad? And in my life, whenever I've ever found myself being or doing some sucker shit, I'm very aware. This is some loser behavior, you know? So I think
you
it's
need
also
to lose it.
Which can I ask you a question? Kindly. I saw you had Kibe. Now, when I used to do a previous spot, I had Kibe on. And before we shot, I met him. The time he had posted anyone wants to do business. Me again with my job ambitions, I hollered at him. So I was like, hey, can we meet? That was before I'd launched that pod.
Yeah.
And I got to meet the man.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like in as much as many people have divergent views, myself included. Yeah. I'm a married man.
Yes.
I understand how impactful being married is in terms of positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a net positive from being married.
Mm-hmm.
I also understand that a bad marriage can also be hell on earth.
Yeah, can be hell. Yeah.
You know?
Yes, yes.
But you cannot blanket women as. Mm. But I also feel if you interact with Kibe on a deeper level, also a very smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very smart guy. Very aware guy.
Yeah.
I think people got confused by the character that he plays.
Yeah, online.
That, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Versus the guy himself.
Yes, versus the guy. Yeah. Yes, yes.
He's actually a very, very smart guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I think I put myself in his shoes. Guy 46, starting afresh. Hey, you have to do something radical to make it.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And from his story, he went to the States with what I think, pennies, and managed to somehow finesse the system. And
yeah, and just came out like Alikuwa. He had some.
I just wish he had someone in his ear who was grounding him in terms of, like, I really resonate with what you said about at some point stop the poignant attacks, keep it general, and now just focus on scaling up. Yeah?
Yeah, scaling up, just being big, yeah, just getting there because you're already successful. Don't act like the unsuccessful dudes.
Yes, yes.
You know, them, they're the ones who need to attack. Like, that urge. Well, I need kufanya hivyo. But hey, because I even remember when we went to shoot Tukwa Mimi, Ian, and Rapture, and he showed up with his son and his daughter. And I remember thinking that I'd had Nicole Memski aki joke, aki ambia wasevi le, watu wangu wanaenda public schools, watu wangu wanaenda. Those kids looked more private school than my kid.
Bobby as hell.
So I know like there's this character that he plays and alafu pia if there's something someone can learn from him, wagayo, the art of hustle, so me, I always give him like his flowers for that, because I remember like there's two things that Shai Samaga I found to be super hilarious. Ningine ati ibuda ni aje na kuona unalala na umesota amka tu jinga. Alafu another funny one was like, hey buda umestedi na umesota acha jinga. Like, focus life yako in any. So kuna hizo vitu zile zake zile, like especially come to hustling and making it in life, I think he's one of those guys who'll show
some
you,
of
like,
his messaging was really good, especially if you're mature enough to hear it. But if you're immature, like now, I used to teach before I got this current job. I used to teach Bado in aviation, and the demographic was 17 to like 21.
Yeah,
huge Andrew Kibe fans. Yeah,
mm.
But you know, I don't know if you've noticed.
Yeah,
there's a demographic of guys. I don't know if there's a shortage of chicks or access. Mm. They don't have access like we did. I'm not saying that we were Mac Daddies, but you could secure a date here, a rejection apple, a date 10 apple. I feel like there's a lot of guys who don't have access to
girls.
Girls. I don't know if girls have become too materialistic where a guy who's in the developmental stage, a party at a... So I noticed that because I remember asking my class, how many of you here have girlfriends? And I mean, the handsome guys, you're in flying school.
Mm.
Why, like, what's up? Why don't you guys have chicks? And then they told me, do.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
You see, such a guy is disgruntled and it's so easy to resonate with an anti-woman sentiment.
Yes.
It's so easy to capture that demographic.
Yeah.
And Rotate did the same thing.
Mm.
Yeah, bravado, Lamborghinis. But you're talking to guys who are probably not getting laid.
Yeah. Are you talking about incel?
Yeah, incel.
Involuntary celibates. Oh, na waga na hasira ingine.
Yep.
Because even majuzi, like, I remember when I did a review on the Ogola funeral, and one of the things I said, I was impressed by the daughter more than the son. And someone wrote up, like, Afrika namjuaga. Women can never do any wrong in his eyes. Women do a lot of wrong in my eyes. I feel like today's society is going to make marriage really hard. Because we've let them sexualize our women and we've told them they can be as sexually liberated as they want to be. I feel like in the grand scheme of things, that does not help. Because now, our mothers could tolerate a bad performance in the bedroom as long as a man was doing one, two, three things.
Performing in other fields.
The modern woman is being told that orgasm is so important that if you're not getting it, go out there and look for it. No one should police your body.
Mm.
There's no way your marriage is going to work with
There's
it.
No way. So
I don't think that women do nini, but I felt like nikisikiza hiyo speech, I feel like the daughter painted a better picture of the dad than the son.
And that was just an objective observation.
Yeah.
Which I feel should not have any even female. That was just a very genuine observation.
Wasoka it turned into that. Like, but it is what it is. But I feel like you, I feel also social media, I don't know if you feel the same, social media maybe meleta your pressure, because social media has given us more choices. Like, if you were to go back in time, dating ilikuwa like you date people from your estate.
Yeah.
Sindio?
Yeah.
Ukienda out, you meet a few people. But saizi ukiwa tu kwa keja hako, if you have money, you have access. Like, when it's at, ingia kwa inbox, ingia kwa inbox. And if you have money, it's hata ku disrespect. But kwa umesota, alafu ingia kwa inbox na nashitikia me screenshot. Look at him! Mm. Alafu it just kills your spirit.
Come pick your husband.
But yeah. I also feel for a man, unless you come from I don't know what kind of wealth, eh?
Yeah.
Me, the number of rejections I got as a high schooler.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you cast a wide net, hoping you'll catch one, but when you're catching one, you'll get like 15, 20 rejections.
Yes.
I think that's a man's journey.
Mm, mm,
that's par for the course, man.
Yeah.
I've been stood up on a date before, you know, but that's par for the course. You know, when you're in high school and you're just trying to throw darts at everything, and because...
Yeah, yeah.
You're literally a walking hormone at the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we kind of just took our L's and
we were never angry at women.
Yeah. Kept it moving. It was never a woman thing.
Yeah.
That's what made us actually.
Yeah.
The rejection lukuwa naichukua kama, because few times nile ulikuwa unapata that you accepted. Pogo like, in a catfish hour.
Yeah.
Like, you used to celebrate with your buddies, like, his ideas.
And that's the life of a man, I feel. That's that trajectory of,
I feel like, you're going to feel the same, but a woman wanting a soft life should not be something that you frown upon. Because do you want to be the guy who's married to a woman who does not want you to improve? I mean, you go too comfortable. Like, hey, since we live in this car, a bedsitter, let's just live here as long as we're happy. Ama, do you want a woman who's telling you we can aspire to do better than this?
I can give you a real life example. My wife. So I finished air school in 2016. But because of some choices I made in life, I've ended up living also a hard life. You know, self. Self-created. Yeah, like at some point I was dirt broke and I started dating my now wife at the time. And we lived in some very funny circumstances, you know, like almost an abandoned house that you've been kind of allowed to live in kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And the one thing that kept with me was, I was always aspirational. Like, this, there's no point, I was like, Sasa, this is where we are. And that's what kept her, like, still interested, still loving me. A woman's natural setting, you cannot just be at a default, at me, I'm just a bum, I've kubalid, I'm a bum, I'm just poor, this is me. You have to try and fail. Let her see you fail 10, 11 times, but she keeps seeing you, this guy.
You're trying.
Eventually, things worked out. Again, those small increments, W's, some L's, countless interviews, rejections, countless, almost getting it rejected. But that thing for, I had to keep trying, you have to keep trying. That's what will keep a woman, a real woman especially. Of course, women will want the softer things in life. That's their nature, man. No woman wants a hard life. No woman wants to feel like it's strife, you know. I feel like people need to recognize that. Then look for the one. Don't look for someone who wants a complete product. Guys in their 20s, very few people in their 20s. Me, I'm now 33. My 20s was the wild west. Man, let me tell you, it's a miracle I'm alive. Like, you guys, the kind of gambles I take with my own existence. You know, when you're a guy, you take very serious risks. Then you look back, I'm like, well, that could have gone south. So 20s are for self-discovery, blunders,
Heartbreaks, multiple heartbreaks.
And not all 20s, by the way.
Yeah.
Because 28, 29. Niko early, whatever, 20.
Yeah.
But heartbreaks ni important sana kuzoea.
The rite of passage.
Ndio sijipate ukiwa online, kwa mama dem. Because that anger is what translates to you hurting a woman and you find yourself in jail for the rest of your life. So it's actually very dangerous. Treat like there are some sort of enemies and what. But I think we talked about off air, because I think maybe we may hint on size in your, you struggled with addiction, this was when, in your 20s,
in my late teens.
Oh, late teens.
Early 20s, yeah.
Kwani, you started drinking at what age?
High school, man. High school, typical experimenting.
Mm.
That's typical stuff, you know, you form one, form two, a typical Kenyan existence where me when I was in primary, I was a cookie cutter guy.
Mm.
Yeah, like you could not tell me booze.
Yeah.
Primary, I was still a naive, that kind of innocent, naive guy.
Mm.
I was in a mixed primary school, very orderly.
Yeah.
Then I went to high school, boys only, although we had girls in IB, but there were like 20 chicks in a school of 400, and IB was a very separate kind of curriculum. That's normal boy stuff, man. You go out with tea, unaonja onja, and then...
Okay, you need to try to understand, eh?
Yeah.
You are 15, let's say. How? Alcohol, mnajipataje kwa alcohol, like someone shows up with it from home, ama...
So, when you're 15 now, when you're going out, the whole environment is mischief. You know, let's do things we've never done. I'm not supposed to be in a club. Let me go to a club. I'm meeting chicks. The thing we've heard about is guys turn up, let's drink. Who can get booze? Some guys go as far as now doing drugs and hard drugs, like especially nowadays. But as we kept kind of booze and cigarettes and going out and clubbing, and that was the kind of thing. So just in those environments, unaonja, at some point you get tipsy and you're like, whoa.
So you started with what? A beer? Whiskey?
Black Ice, funny enough. I know that's...
Black Ice, okay.
That was
okay.
My first contact with booze was Black Ice.
A few sips, a whole bottle?
Probably had like two bottles.
The first time?
There used to be a thing called Black Cotton. I don't know if you heard of Black Cotton. It used to happen in Karen.
Yeah,
it was like a... People used to call it like a white boy event. It was 400 bob. We went... So Black Ice was like a... I don't think they still sell it. I don't know. It's like a... mixed vodka. It's a soft, it's actually a girl's drink. It's called a panty remover, actually. Black ice. Then at some point, I remember we went to M2. Do you remember M2? Bandari Plaza.
I think I remember. Kituka, you blew some Bandari Plaza.
Now, I remember very well, a form two. He came, he saw me drinking Black Ice, and he's like, bro, because you don't know about like Makali now. So he took me. Went downstairs, I remember very well, he bought me a Naps, Napoleon. Then he made me pick it flash. And now that's the first time I actually got like tipsy. And I felt the effect of, you know, alcohol, you know, the...
Dopamine.
The freedom.
It'll slap.
All of a sudden, I don't have to think twice. If I'm going to talk to a shorty, it's just...
Ikonini.
Ikonini. So, of course, there's so many things now, in hindsight, I think that... How and it would lead one to actually having like that substance abuse thing. There were a few issues at home, parents not getting along too well, coupled with curiosity about booze, then genetic predisposition. So the stars kind of aligned, you know. So me, I would lie, Bana, from high school, from the moment I started getting tipsy. Almost, I don't know how my employer will feel about this, but whatever. We're here. Almost at every opportunity. And of course, at that level, I was in a day school. So at that level, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Because I still had the kind of wherewithal to know that you can't be drunk in school all day, every day. But every opportunity, so Thursday into Friday weekend.
Because Friday's in the end of class.
Yeah.
Tipsy. Hangover.
That times I'd find, in fact, man, I think back, that was so wild. I was having hangies in high school, especially Monday mornings. Monday mornings, but the guys are going for break. Me, I'm still chandling, puking, like recovering, you know.
And no one was smelling you at home.
That's what I'm saying. There was a bit of a disconnect happening at home where were kind of freedoms were a bit high. I've never posed that question directly, because there are times I remember engaging these guys while tipsy, and no one knows. Like, because we still had that thing of sitting at the table, Nini. And I remember there are times I'd be talking in my mind. I'm thinking, how do these guys not know? I'm like, I've learned.
Like siblings, mukwangapi?
I have 3 brothers, 1 sister.
So you're like 5 kids.
Yeah.
And your time when you're tipsy, the whole table is full.
Well,
like everyone is there, no?
So we didn't all grow up in the same house. I grew up with 2 of my brothers in the same house. My younger brother was too young to even radanisha. My elder bro was also in his own world, man. Not necessarily drunk, but By the time I was drinking, he was at that age of, I think he had just finished fourth. So he's hardly ever there, always out and about, you know,
So he at a happy I could notice you're drinking?
He knew I used to turn up, but he didn't know that, hey,
it was that bad.
I think they started noticing later.
System gani natumika St. Mary's, KCSE, GCSE, what are you doing?
They do both. I did 844.
You did 844?
Yeah.
So by the time unachapa EKCSE, is there a day you did any paper ukiwa drunk?
No.
So time your exams.
In fact, I always said these kids are braver. Like, you see at the time, things like ati dropping out of high school, it was not even a thought.
Yeah.
It was not even an idea. Yeah. So there are certain things, you know, I knew how to keep in check. Like, there's no way I was going to do KCSE lit or tipsy or not do KCSE at all, you know. So finished high school. Kanalea too. Cost me a lot of opportunities. I did a lot of mark timing before I got my act together at Seiko Zobos.
So after Seiko, what was the plan? You wanted to study?
So, well, for me, my interest in aviation came when I was young. I was lucky enough to have gone on like foreign trips with my parents on holiday, and I was always intrigued by the whole airport thing. Reaching the airport, seeing the planes, like, it always jazzed me so much. I'd always try and peek into the cockpit. And then I also have two family members, uncles, who are pilots. And So funny story, the older one, every time he'd come visit us, man, cool car. He always had a cool car, two-door. This guy had a Trueno in like the mid-90s. Trueno that had the lights that come like this. So for me, I was sold, man. And then I'll remember I had gone for a soccer tournament. I think I was 12. And we got eliminated early, and I was really down because I really liked football. And my uncle came and picked me and took me on a flight. And now I got to sit in the cockpit with him. That for me, that was done deal. I was sold on the idea. I knew even in high school that I wanted to be a pilot.
But sasa you time umemaliza chuo, una struggle na alcoholism.
So yeah, so I struggled with it a bit. Of course, ups and downs. Took almost like a gap year of just mark timing, to be honest. Trying to discover myself. Then at some point, of course, now family have noticed and they're like, hey, you kind of need to get your act together. You need to be productive. And so I was asked, what do you want to do? I'm like, I still want to do my flying thing. And of course, initially they were like, you should try Zana. So I enrolled at a flight school here in Nairobi Wilson.
Before that, we enrolled in flight school. Like, ni moment gani uli feel like now I've hit rock bottom, like I need to get my shit together?
I think when you start having encounters with the law. Law enforcement. By way of drunk and disorderly, you know, those weird, weird things. You find yourself in a cell. That's when you start thinking hard about, there's no way I'd be here sober. No, in fact, I always say, if you find yourself in cell as a sober guy, you've done a crime. You've done a real crime. In fact, every time I found myself in those two environments and I'd see a sober guy, I'd be very, because most guys there,
yes,
were drunk and disorderly, you know. So such things now made me start thinking twice. Of course, the guys you finished high school with start, guys have gone to uni, people are doing things. Of course, pressure from the family. So I enrolled, and I fell in love, kabisa. Like the dream was confirmed, you know. When I see a guy like Khalif, there's like an obsession every pilot when you start training. Like obsession everyone gets. I can see he's still in that cafe, and I can recognize it, sana. You're still very hyped about the whole thing. So. Man, I fell in love with it. I was pretty good at it from the word go.
Okay, so now you clean up, and then you're like
with a lot of help. Let me not forget that part. A lot of family support, a lot of therapy, a lot of I had a lot of support by way of family to clean up.
Okay, so now we can get aviation school. So hizo classes wagaje, see, of course, sisi ya kwanza unapelekwa kwa ile inaitangwa nini, simulator, no?
In fact, contrary to popular belief, most training, simulator training comes way later in training. you start on the aircraft.
Mm.
Yeah, you start on a training aircraft.
Mm.
This is a 5-seater Cessna 172 or a Piper training, an aircraft that was designed primarily for training.
Okay. Okay.
The ones with propellers at the front, single engine, right?
Mm.
So you start with that. Sim comes much later,
okay,
at a more advanced stage of your training.
Mm.
Because obviously you can't take a Boeing up to go and practice turns.
Yeah,
that's how you'd simulate it in a sim. Yeah.
Mm.
So you do that for about what, I think now the law is what, 40 hours of training. That's
okay.
That is, it's a syllabus. So in those 40 hours, there's specific criteria that you have to meet.
Mm.
And there are different milestones. So you'll have that first flight is called a FAMIL.
Mm.
Your first ever flight now with an instructor.
Okay.
It's called familiarization.
Mm.
Now, the main purpose of that flight is, of course, to, as the name
familiarize
suggests.
Familiarize yourself. Yeah.
But also to see if you have the girl.
Mm.
Yeah, because going up in a 5-seater aircraft, it's a light aircraft, man. You're feeling everything. It's the turbulence. Like, there are guys who tap out there.
Mm.
They just confirm, okay, I thought this was for me, but
okay.
It's not for
me.
And, of course, there are people who now are like, hey.
This is for me.
This is it.
Mm.
And then there's also people who go through the normal fear, but push themselves through until now they fall in love with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere in the middle of my first flight, I'm going to pretend that I was just braveheart there. No, no, it was scary.
Mm.
The instructors do all manner of maneuvers just to test how can you handle this thing. So, yeah.
You're talking about students, kada ama wakichapaiza maneuver, you're one student?
You and your instructor.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, mm. Yeah.
Mm.
So you go through that and then now you start, there's ground school, what we call ground school, which is now you're being taught the theory part of aviation, which is also chunked into 8 subjects, which you have to cover. You have to pass exams under Kenya Civil Aviation Authority. Now, the theory part coupled with the flight hours part, you merge them. So you have to have passed your theory under KCA.
Yeah.
You have to have met all the criteria in those 40 hours.
Mm.
40 hours is the minimum. Most people finish with about 50.
Because
you won't do every flight perfectly.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And then if you pass, then you do something called a GFT, which is a general flight test.
Mm.
Now you go up with an examiner, not an instructor. Not just an instructor.
No.
You take off. Him is there to confirm that these hours you've done and these things that are written here, this guy can do steep turns.
Mm.
It says he can do Saatwende. This guy can take off safely, he can land safely, he can practice emergency maneuvers, he can stall an aircraft, he can simulate an engine fire, he can recover. All these things he wants to confirm. So him is just there, he'll tell you, okay, now, so you go to a place called the local training area.
Yeah.
It's a specific airspace, like here in Nairobi Wilson, it's from race course towards past Kangemi. What's past Kangemi? I'm forgetting. There's a whole specific area that's just for training. That airspace. So that's where you do those maneuvers. When you go there, examiner will tell you, okay, now demonstrate for me a stall. A stall is now you pull the aircraft up until there's no longer a lift on the wings. And how you recover. So you recover nose down, a bit of power, get airflow back on the wings and get back flying. So amongst many other maneuvers.
Yeah, and I make sure aje hautamfikisha kwa Mungu Baba.
Those guys are so seasoned. Remember also you're operating at a certain altitude, so you won't just fall out of the sky. Again, aircrafts are very aerodynamic.
Yeah.
Unless you lose a wing or something, you're pretty much safe. And these guys are, I mean, some of these guys have 25,000 hours.
Yeah.
Kumtisha is very hard, so
Konaya time.
Yeah. Konaya time, man.
I love that.
Yeah.
So, and that's just a PPL level, private pilot. Like now what Khalif Cairo has, a PPL.
Yeah.
You get a PPL. Now, a PPL has certain, what are they called? Privileges.
Yeah.
Privileges of a specific license. A private pilot license, contrary to popular belief, sometimes people think private pilot license means you fly private jets. No. It has certain privileges and certain limitations. So a PPL allows you to build hours towards your CPL.
Okay.
One, because if PPL is 40 hours, now to get a commercial license is 200 hours. So now you need to accrue an extra 160 hours.
Na hii 160 sasa una accrue na gani? Na haka tuka Cessna?
Yes, the smaller one.
Yeah, okay.
But now the difference this time is I can call Mwafrika.
Mm.
We go on a flight to Costo, so it's called our building.
Yeah.
Now building is, it's now fun. That's the fun part of training.
Because
you can fly the aircraft. So you can fly. That's when guys take their chicks, your family. I took my brother up. Because my brother, my elder brother used to have a car. I was like, yeah, flying. So I had to go and show him, hey, boss. Took him, did for him some maneuvers, scared him nicely so that he can respect the craft. Yeah?
The G's.
Proper G's, man. I remember him holding himself like this. But just for him to respect that, yeah, man, it's not just something that obvio.
It's covered under your school fees. Because I'm assuming hiring a plane is expensive.
School fees in flying school, what you're paying for is hours, pretty much.
Yeah.
So most schools, all schools have an hourly rate. Let's say, I think right now it's pretty high. In my day, an hour is what, 14, 15K? Which is, I know that sounds a lot per hour, especially if you're trying to do 200. But now it's reached about 28K per hour. So when you're paying for flying school, you're mainly paying for hours. And then, of course, there's the ground school part. So PPL ground school, let's say, is 100,000 Kenya shillings. Then you'll do commercial pilot license, which is just the ground school, which is just an advanced level of the subjects you covered. PPL is a bit juju. CPL is not more in depth because the aim of a CPL is to go and operate commercially now where you're being paid. So a PPL, you can fly people, etc., our build, but you cannot fly for remuneration.
Yeah.
If you're caught working with a PPL or earning money under that's a crime.
Yeah.
So that's how it works. You pay for hours pretty much. Yeah.
Because I'm trying to imagine if that's 28K, now we need 200 hours, that's 5.6 million.
That's some quick math. And
damn, that's a lot of money.
That's a commercial pilot license, single engine. Yeah. Now, after that, you have to do something called a multi IR course. Multi means you're flying a plane with more than one engine, it's a rating. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a short course, but if you want to advance to like the major airlines, you need to have a multi-engine. Now that usually, in my day, it was like 45K an hour. You need 20 hours of those.
It's 900 Gs.
So you learn how to fly multi, two engines, and instrument rating. Instrument, again, flying without reference to outside.
Yeah.
You're being taught how to navigate. Because when you're flying PPL, CPL, all of it is, like if you're flying to coast, yes, you can have a GPS. But when you're being trained, you literally learn how to use a map, your stopwatch, and compass. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, you're literally flying like waypoint to waypoint. I'm flying from here to that bridge, to that intersection on the like visually, that intersection. From there, there's a town, Magadi. After the town, I'm flying to that next. So the meteorological conditions have to be good enough for visual flying.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can see how that would be a limiting factor in general aviation. Imagine if every time you had to fly, that it had to be clear.
Yeah,
there'd be no aviation. So the advent of instrument flying came from that necessitation that, wait a minute, we can't be restricted to just flying visually. We need to be able to fly in crazy conditions. Nowadays, I mean, the more advanced airports in the world, you can bring an aircraft down to 50 feet without having seen the runway. Category C. Down to 50 feet, you've not yet seen. At 50 feet, once you see, now you touch down.
Okay.
Yeah. So
50 feet is in the upper.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, but you need
For the countries, I mean, with the serious seasons, you know, as guys don't experience the variety of seasons per se, where mainly in Anyesha, Ama, it's, you know, it's dry or it's raining. There are places with winter, so those things come with, those weather systems comes with all manner of low visibility operations. Those guys still need to go from A to B.
So but vilonongea even in a guy like this is if you're not coming from, in quotes, a rich family, where's if an aviation, how do you get this money?